Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Chris Myers and Lorenzo Pasquini. What we're going to do today is we've got two wines in front of me. I've got Chateau Parma and Alter Ego. We're going to taste the two wines. They're both from the 2013 vintage. Talk a wee bit about what happened in 2013, how it reflects in the wines themselves, and maybe talk a bit about what Alter Ego is and what happened to your second wine. I think, Lorenzo, we'll let you have a chance to talk because in the last interview you didn't really, you know, Chris was in there talking about Umbrimare in 1855 and you didn't really get a word in edgewise. So I've got two wines in front of me, left and right glass. I can't remember which one's which.
Left.
No, no, don't tell me.
Sorry.
I want to taste them and see what the differences are in my mind, and then we'll talk about it. I'll cut this out so it won't be. I've just had two wines. I'm not sure which one's which, but I'll tell you what I think because I think that's the best way of me giving a understanding the wine is not to be told, and then you can correct me about what I've done wrong. Okay. First wine. Slightly richer fruit, more riper fruit. The acidity was quite intense, actually, on the mouth. The tannins were quite grippy. And so, you know, with the acidity and tannins and the richness of the fruit, it seemed to be more of a wine for ageability, for longer-term aging. The second wine had a more creaminess to it, a bit more vanilla. The tannins were slightly softer, and the acidity was slightly less as well. So if I was to say which one was immediate drinking, it would be the right-hand wine and the left-hand wine for longer-term aging, just based on taste very quickly. Now, tell me, what have I done wrong?
The description was perfect, so great job, but it's the other way.
It's the other way around.
The left one is Alter Ego, and the right one is Palmer.
Okay, so why did I think that?
You said that the I mean, you base your, let's say, guess on drinkability.
Guess is a good word. Yeah, drinkability, yeah.
But we don't make Alter Ego to immediate drinking. We make it for, let's say, 5-10 years term. And the Palmer for more. I mean, for 20, 30, 40, 100 year. Okay. So it's actually true that the Alter Ego is a little more acidic. And it will give it the, let's say, the drinkability in the time that we are looking for. Mm-hmm. We don't want Alter Ego to be drunk now.
Yeah, okay. And the right-hand wine, the Chateau Parma, the creaminess I'm saying is probably coming through from oak or vanillary style of oak. Does the Chateau Parma have more oak or less oak, a new oak?
A little more new oak, yeah. I mean, all the two wines go in 100% French barrel. Mm-hmm. For the Alter Ego 2013, we'll use 10% new oak. And for the Palmer, for 30%.
Yeah, okay. So that's where that creamy vanilla.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and also okay. For the concentration of the fruit, for sure.
Okay. And the Alter Ego, it smelt quite ripe. You know,
yeah, that's
it smelt a lot riper than I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree. The interesting thing of Alter Ego 2013 is that there is a kind of a difference between what you smell, because I actually agree that there are ripe fruit flavors, and then what you drink, because in the mouth you have this acidity which gives elegance and which makes you think about a less ripe fruit, let's say.
Yeah.
But that's the typicity of Alter Ego this year.
Okay. And how different is this year to, I hate this word, a classic vintage? Mm-hmm. You know, are we talking, this is bang on what we'd expect every year? Yeah. And I'll be straight up and down. I've only had Chateau Parma once before, and it was quite an old vintage. You know, it had about 20 years of age before I'd got into it, so it tasted completely different to these wines. So, what would I normally be expecting at a young Chateau Parma? Are these classic? Are they different? Why?
Let's say 2013 was a tough vintage. Wasn't a classic vintage because we had a lot of rain all along the year. And so we had to, I mean, it was a tough vintage, and so much more challenging and much funner for us also, because we had to work a lot to keep the style of the appellation and of the winery. So that's the creaminess that you're talking about, that self-tanning touch, that's what we were hardly looking for. And let's say...
Hardly look. You weren't avoiding or...
No, we were
Oh, striving for.
Yeah, exactly. And so this was a different vintage from the others, from the 2012, for instance, because we had a lot more rain all the year. Then we were lucky because during July and August we had a good sun, so we don't have any green pepper flavors, even if the whole year was very wet. So that's a miracle of the 2013 vintage.
Yeah.
And so this acidity comes from this big amount of water in the soil that gave us a good acidity, which I think it's pretty interesting for the elegance that it gives to the wine.
Have you got a lot of clay here in Chateau Palma? I know it's supposed to be on gravel, but you do get clay mixed in, is it?
Yeah, we have an amount of clay, which changes depending on the blocks, of course.
Yeah,
we have a...
Because that would imply that if it's wet and you've got a bit of clay, it's a bit cooler. And that may be where the acidity comes from, mm-hmm. or is it?
It depends. Acidity comes also from the date of harvest. Mm-hmm. And we had to harvest a little earlier this year because of the rain. So, of course, it comes from the soil, but it comes also from the ripeness.
Okay, I'm going to offend you a wee bit here. The Chateau Palma has some of the black cassis, mm-hmm. black currant flavors that I'm looking for, and the vanilla. And to me, it tastes a lot more like a Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. The alter ego, and this will be a bit nasty, tastes like a very good Zinfandel. Mm-hmm. In terms of the ripeness of the fruit, it's moved beyond the cassis, and which is strange because you're saying it's a cool climate mm-hmm. vintage, but it tastes riper.
I see what you say, and that's because we try to keep the fruit on alter ego. For us, alter ego is as we said before, a wine ready to drink a little earlier than Palmer, and where we try to have a lot of fruit flavors and tannins a little smoother. So this year we don't have this smooth tannins, but we have the fruit flavor that we were looking for. Mm-hmm. And to have this in wine, then we have to adapt all the vinification process, like first in temperatures, extractions, which are oriented on those fruit flavors that we're looking for. So that's why.
Let's talk about extraction then, because that's always an interesting topic, uh-huh. or can be an interesting mm-hmm. topic. We had a look around the winery.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed was that, I noticed the funny shaped tanks, which seemed uh-huh. to be small at the top and big at the bottom. And uh-huh. I asked you, I said to you guys, that's strange, you know, because that would imply that you've got less cap uh-huh. at the top. Touching the wine, so therefore you get lower extraction now, but you corrected me, as people often do. Do you want to tell me what was going on in those tanks?
We have two types of tanks. So we have entire tanks, conical, where this form allows you to break the cap when you do pumping overs. Mm-hmm. And then there are some other tanks that we cut into. So we have two smaller tanks, actually.
Yeah.
And this allows us to, first of all, ferment smaller quantities, so do selections in the blocks,
yep.
which is very important for us. And second, to have tanks that are very large and not very tall, so the skin contact is higher, and so we can do less pump overs and try to, as I said, protect the fruit, first of all, and second, avoid the extraction of harsh tannins.
And what sort of temperature do you ferment? Is it?
It depends on the vintage yeah. and on the wine. Average for Palmer, we macerate after the fermentation around 28 to 30 degrees, and for alter ego, 25 to 28. So we have lower temperature for what we were talking about before.
Yeah, so the lower temperature means that you're not going to get quite as many tannins coming out and exactly. color coming out. Mm-hmm.
Extraction-wise, what we try to do is to extract more at the first part of the fermentation, where you have less alcohol, so you extract less tannins and more colors, and more aromas, and quite stop the extraction at the end of the fermentation, where we just leave the cap on maceration, just on skin contact, because we, as I said, we try to avoid the extraction of these harsh tannins. And then we leave for 3 to 4 to 5 even weeks on just skin contact, without touching the cap.
Just in the vineyard, I didn't actually have a chance to look at your vineyard, actually. But I saw some of it on the way in, and there seemed to be a reasonable amount of clay and a bit of gravel there. But what trellising do you use?
Double Guyot.
Yeah. Vertical shoot positioning?
Yeah.
Okay. And why do you do that?
Because, first of all, this is a traditional way of pruning here. Mm-hmm. And second, because it's very good for two reasons. The first one is that you don't cut on the old wood, you just cut on the new wood, 1 year wood. So for all the wood diseases, this is very good, very respectful for the wood, first thing. And second thing, because this allows us to have all the shoots which are pretty far one from the other, so we don't have bunches too close one to the other, and we have a good airflow inside the canopy.
Yeah, I imagine airflow, because we are Atlantic here, you know, there is, Bordeaux does get a reasonable amount of rain throughout the year as well.
Yeah.
So getting air circulation just must help with your disease management.
Exactly, yeah.
All right then, I think we'll wrap it up there, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.